All right, roll call. Ward, mayor's office vacant. Ward 1, Commissioner Rodriguez. Ward 2, Commissioner Burke.
Here.
3, Commissioner Hunter.
Here.
Ward 4, Commissioner Andrews.
Here.
Ward 5, Chairperson Clark.
Here.
Ward 6, Commissioner Pollack. She said she would be traveling and not attend today. We do have quorum, Chairperson Clark.
Number 2 on the agenda is the approval of the November 1st IFBC meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to go over them?
Yes, I just want to edit. There's a W in my last name. I did monitor the meeting, but was unable to communicate. I've been muted. So, guys did a great job with that. Editing the letter.
Yeah. I haven't heard a response. Has everyone received a meet at the minutes?
I'll move approval. Bruce Burke.
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Do we have any discussion? Commissioner Andrews, you found a typo, I think.
Yes, that was the the spelling of my last name has a W before the S.
And the commissioner members excused early.
Yeah.
I'll make the adjustment.
Commissioner, will you accept the change?
Yes, I'll accept the typo correction.
Thank you. Any discussion? Let's move to all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And third on the agenda is the staff update.
I'm Chairperson Clark. We do have Vivian Neuscheller here from Representative Business Services, and I believe she's ready to provide an update.
Please. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Commission members. I feel now that I sound like a broken record each meeting. So no major updates. I've been providing updates that we're working on the ACFR, the fiscal year 23 ACFR. We're still working on that now. And we're, of course, heading into the development of the fiscal year 25 budget. We do have a draft calendar, hasn't been reviewed by the manager's office yet, but we should have a final one for the next meeting. So I could give a brief summary of what we're doing or planning for the next cycle. And that's it.
May I ask when the effort is due to be presented?
We're at the tail end of wrapping it up. We've got a couple of sets of financial statements that we're closing up for housing. We are working on converting. We actually, went through a large system implementation to a new ERP, but we also had to close up the Elite system, which is a system that housing was working off of. In the past few years. So we're working on closing that up, tying to that system, to the current ERP system financials. So we're tying up those items and reconciling. And once we're done with that, then we'll wrap things up and get a solid or a draft of the ACFR. So I'm thinking
maybe
end of this month, but I'm not going to say it'll be completed. That's what we're shooting for.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have anything further to offer to the commission?
I do not.
Commissioners, do you have any questions?
No, Mr. Chair.
No.
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Item number four is the employee onboard and offboarding process overview. HR, I think, is going to, our human resources staff is going to give an overview of at least the offboarding part. I'm going to try to request them to join. All right, Commissioner Clark, it does appear our human resources staff are available. Are you able to hear us, Elsa and Suzette?
I can.
Okay. All right. Sorry for the time mix-up. At 2:30 was reserving the room. We are on your agenda item, so Chairperson Clark will is, I believe, ready for what you have to present.
Please.
Great. Let me pull that file back up. I moved on to the new task, so let me grab that real quick.
We apologize for the mix-up.
Oh, no worries. Okay, so if, would I be able to share my screen? Yep, it looks like I can. So I'll go ahead and share my screen. I did create just a quick PowerPoint just to kind of walk everyone through some of the topics, but of course I've left several minutes after for us to have direct questions and feedback that you want to provide us. So just one moment. We'll go ahead and share that. The presentation. Great. So again, thank you, Aaron, for inviting us into your meeting, and I appreciate the request to walk through the process that we have. A couple things that we mentioned to Aaron is that this is going to be work in progress, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that as we go. So right now, again, the purpose of the of an exit interview for any organization, and especially for the city, is to know that it's a very standardized process that makes it easy for departments, employees, to go through a smooth transition outside of the organization. There's a couple reasons for that. Obviously, safety, security, protection of assets, and that also includes electronic assets, but also physical assets. So those are, that is a, of course, a tangible component to it. But the intangible component to it is that people that leave us are ambassadors to our organization so that they can be served as a referral. They continue conversations about their experience at the organization, which can have a widespread impact to any organization. So thinking of it from a perspective of that, so that it's not just the process, it's also the human part that is connected, and how do we make sure it's a very respectful, smooth transition for anyone choosing to leave the organization. There are other pieces that affect the person individually. So if we don't do it right with them, there could be a gap in their benefits or their payroll. And that means COBRA benefits and anything happening to their check or all of those pieces. So we want to make sure that's important for them to have a transition that's smooth so that we don't harm them in any way when they leave. And of course, I always say, I know we talk about the electronic assets, but there are components of security breaches. Since we do, some positions have some major connection to some major confidential information, that we just want to make sure there's that security component too. So those are really the primary purpose when you're looking at any exiting, aka offboarding process at an organization. Right now, our current process is pretty heavy with HR and the department in the sense that right now, HR in our, we're distributed for those that you may remember is that we have a central HR area and then we have HR services across the city in departments which we call shared services. So they're out there. We have HR in every department that or is assigned to departments to help anyone in that department in their processes and specifically employees. So their designated area individual HR team meets with them. They walk through, there's some required forms that we have to have them work through. We send them, we talk about the employee exit survey and we send them the link. We also discuss, answer questions, discuss or provide resources that they've requested. And there is a system, which is, I think most of you might know, is our HR management system, our HRM system is Workday. So there's three different people that can initiate, that action. Was there a question?
No.
Okay, let me know. That can initiate the action. That can be the employee can initiate the action in the system. The supervisor or HR can initiate the action in the system so that they can have that action completed for their end date. The other section to it, that this is this unknown and why I have this big orange thing about missing data. Every department does something different. So there's an inconsistency there. So we have a pretty consistent process, but in the department, it can vary. And so they can have supervisors meet with them, departments meet with them, nobody meet with them, just not having that. There's just this major gap here of what supervisors and what role people should play in the process. In that too, as you'll see in the next slide, is that it causes us not to capture the data. So as the individuals work through HR, we encourage them to capture data. But in an apartment, not necessarily get them to be able to capture that data. And then those conversations people have in the department, nobody's capturing that and putting that in the data so that we as decision makers can really look at the data to see what's going on and start focusing on, you know, areas that we need to improve with. So when you're looking at the survey, and I just pulled the survey information today again, this survey was established in 2020. So it's pretty old survey with 12 questions that need to be revisited. There's pieces missing that should be on there and are some of those questions valid? So we really need to look at those questions. We also, as you're seeing, is a very low response rate. So just looking at the 2023 to 2020, so we have only literally as of today, 446 total individual responses. And you can see right now we're not completely done with 2023, but that's a 9.4% response rate. And in 2022, it was a 12.9% response rate. So that is a terrible response rate. So this process is not working, which is you'll see why we're thinking of other things moving forward. You'll see 142 individual responses in 2021 and then 77 in 2020. We don't have the total survey information total turnover data for that because we implemented two systems. So I'm not comfortable with that number, but I would guess looking at those numbers, it's as low as the other ones too. Here's a survey response example. I picked always my favorite one, right? So just looking at when you compare the two. So one of the questions we do ask out of the 12 questions is, would you reconsider reemployment at the city in the future? That usually is your telltale sign if somebody's leaving really unhappily or if they're leaving for other reasons, which can be a long list. And so in 2023 right now, we're doing a lot better than we did in 2022. So in 2022, just a little over half is 65% is saying that they would come back to the city. Right now we're at 78. Of course, we would love to see that more in the 85 role. 80s to the 90s are the best ones, but that's looking pretty good right now. But again, we got a few more weeks of December to see what happens. So that's just an example of a survey and how we can see what the component is. So what are we doing? So HR, as I was telling Aaron, of like your timing is in a good place. So we are is one of the many projects, citywide projects that we have been pulled together where we're looking at what we call it onboarding, offboarding. And why we're putting them both together is a lot of the offboarding or exiting processes will mirror an onboarding process. So we're developing those together so that we're not missing a component of what are those processes that need to be done to offboard. So right now we have done a lot of pieces, but this is our objective. Our objective is to create a positive employee exiting experience to maintain internal morale and city reputation. Things that we are doing for our key results is launch lean event to map current and future processes, which has been done, and then design and implement an effective exiting onboarding experience. And that's not just only a systems process, but also the human process. And then lastly, once we've got that designed, establishing our policies, procedures, resources, and training on that exiting process. And if those three things come in place, we're going to see a major change of our exiting process. So what have we done? So these are our project team members right now. I want to give a good shout out to them. So we have a project lead, and these are our HR projects, right, employees. So we have a project lead and a co-lead that is leading this project, and we have a very robust project team of high-level employees in there that can help us manage and start developing and pulling that process together. And that has been happening. Oops, sorry. So what has been happening? So in July, we did the 2-day lean event to do that process mapping and capturing old and new process ideas. July 23rd is when we got the interest of the employees and HR to see who would be willing, which we then launched out the project assignments in September. The launch occurred for the project in October. And now there is a second, so that is on the move. So it's been working since October. And at the same time, we're doing our workday module discovery, which is the systems piece to it that will have the changes. Our goal is in place by March and a project to have fully in place by May to June. And as you're seeing in the May area, March, April, May component will really be once we've got the process in place, we're going to go take it on the road, right? And we're going to go out there and we're going to have our resources developed. We're going to train all of the key people that are involved in exiting, which is not just HR and the employee. It's the supervisor. It's the department. It's the, it can be the director. It can be a manager. So all of those pieces that play in that part. And it could be other areas. It could be our safety, our risk, our benefits area, and making sure everybody has a role so that that person has a very efficient and effective exiting process and that all of the pieces are captured. And so that, again, our goal is based on our work that we're doing now, literally as we speak, we're looking at a May-June implementation of these new changes. So that we can start getting some really good information and robust information and really ensuring we can bring those numbers up of who wants to come back to be employed at the city. So that's kind of just real quick overview of what we're doing right now. Do you have any questions or thoughts or ideas that you'd like us to run with us? We are very open to listen and answer those questions.
Just to clarify, that's May to June of 2024 that this would be implemented?
Oh, yes. Very good. Of course. It's May to, it's the 2024. No, I'm hopeful. So we are looking at, yes, the 2024 date, which is just right around the corner for us. And what we do is when we do implementation date, it really depends upon our workday. That's our unknown. So as they are literally programming those changes in, which are, I don't want to, simplifying it, it's almost like everybody has a step they have to do in the system and mark it off, but we're not just including, you know, just the process steps, but it's like, have you, you know, do you have an exiting mentor that can help you walk through this process? Is there, or do you want to get COBRA stuff now or talk to the benefits component so that you are prepared when you leave? So all of those pieces that are the human components, we're using the system to capture and notify so that nothing's missed, right? The big pieces aren't missed.
Question. Are there differences within this program depending on whether the termination is of employment is a voluntary quit, a reduction in force, or termination for cause? Are there differences within the program, or is it the same all the way through?
I would say so. There is always special handling when employers terminate an employee, And luckily, you know, when you look at it, there's not as many of those as those that are voluntarily leaving. There is a same process that there's still the same information should be captured, and there'll be a what I would call your expedited process, because we have a short window to do that. And those are the ones that are typically missed, right? And yes, people are separated from an employer, you know, for reasons that could be just a job person fit. It could be as simple as that. And so, and maybe the next, if we do this right, maybe the next time they come, they will find the right person job fit. So it is an expedited version. But overall, we still need that same data captured, which then we can tie to, you know, if they're a voluntary involuntary component, which is because it's work day, those numbers actually connect together so that we can actually pull that data specifically.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit confused about the response rate.
Yes. So we have approximately, and I just did the first 2 years because we have changed an old system to a new system. So there's a data merge that went across an old system to a new system that had our turnover data. And so this number, I only did the last 2 years because we know those numbers are correct. We're still validating 20 and 21 numbers. So when you're looking at 2023, for example, and you're looking at this, right now we have 97 responses from the exit survey. In those 97 individual responses, we had over 1,033 people that turned over up to this point. So out of those 1,033 people that have left the organization, 9.4% of them did the exit interview for a total of 97 responses. Does that make more sense? Yeah.
Well,
it's very sad.
Is it required to have an exit interview? Can they just walk away and say no thank you?
What we can do, yeah, two parts to that. So we do an exiting process with HR that they're required to do these forms. So we need those forms to be completed before someone is exited. Even in termination components, we as an HR make sure those forms are done. So there's a connection to a human to the human before they exit. So that part's required. What is not required is for them to fill out the exit, employee exit survey. That is optional and volunteer. However, asterisk to that, because HR has to spend that time with the employees, there is still ways HR can get that data. And so I want to build into our process that while they're doing those forms, they still can ask those questions to individuals that can choose to answer them or not, but it will give us a stronger response rate because most people will answer those questions since they're sitting with us by requirement directly. So that's the piece that is the control point that we're hoping to exploit a little bit better.
I'm wondering how that fits in with the security aspect of data that might leave with,
yes,
with the person.
Yes, and that,
how you prevent that if they won't respond.
So there's two parts, remember. So there, oops, sorry, let me get to it. So there's a systems part and there's the human part of the process. So the systems part is by what we're doing right now, which our system is called Workday. And so I'm going to just jump really quickly to the timeline. So Workday is the systems part to the process. In our system, what we're building out is part of our offboarding and onboarding is what systems people have to have access to come on board. So therefore, what systems do we need to turn off when they leave? So what's happening right now is there's a disconnect because we don't have a capturing of all those systems someone has to have to do their job. For example, there's a lot of external systems to the city that people have access to that they need to use to do their job. And we have no place that we've captured that. So when people leave, our departments have to scramble to try to remember what systems an individual has if they choose not to tell us or if they fail to remember to tell us. And so that part of the systems aspect will be captured from the beginning and then will be also at the time when they're offboarded. So that's part of that systems changes that we're going to be using the system to capture that information so that we don't forget that information when they leave.
So I understand that that's still in the process of developing.
Yes, and what we're doing, so you know, just we've been busy, we're doing the recruitment module, which is then an onboarding module, also, and a performance module. At the, so we're, it's staged. So first will be the recruitment module, then this onboarding, offboarding module, and then performance. So part of the recruitment module is that we are changing, is that we're changing not from a hire date. So once the candidate has accepted our offer, which is usually 2 weeks to a month prior to their start date, we're going to use that date, that offer acceptance date, to trigger all these actions to have done in place before a person comes on board. So that gives us time to build out those pieces, including what systems they're going to need and getting those set up. So when people come day one, they're ready to be, their computers on, their emails ready, and they can start working that day. And we've got all that stuff pre-done, worked up. So that's why they're all kind of connected together.
And as you said, that's still in the stage of developing.
Mm-hmm. We are hoping to launch the recruitment module February. So January, February. And when that goes live, we are hoping to then look at the onboarding. Again, I put out to May to June, but we can be March to June, depending on our programmer.
And is there any procedures to troubleshoot the new programs you're setting up? Do you have a way to monitor the results?
Can you reframe your question? I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're asking.
Well, you're producing a new program.
Mm-hmm.
And someone has to follow through to make sure that it gives you all the things that you want out of it and doesn't leave information gaps.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. So part of this great thing about the Workday system and why we have a large project team and we did this 2-day lean event with like over 100 city of Tucson employees was to gather everybody what they're doing so that we can capture and put what should be into the process in the process as it's part of design. Now I'm going to say we're probably most systems like this is 80% is a typical launch percentage of accuracy. But because it's our system and we are able to launch it and then continually improve it. So if we launch worst case scenario at 80% accuracy on the system, then we'll be able to continue to improve it because we have the authority and access to do so. So I would say give us a year to get up to a very 90 to 95% accuracy rate. Because you'll find once we launch, we'll have add things as we go that we may or may not have missed, even though matter how well we tried to pre-plan this.
And finally, you indicate that various departments use some or all of the procedures.
Yes.
I suspect it's somewhat different from somebody who's a groundskeeper at one of the parks as opposed to somebody who's in IT.
Yes. Yes. And so that's why, as you'll note, you might have seen with our project team is HR is in every department. So we literally physically are in every department. So we made sure that there's a representation of the common positions across the city so that they can provide feedback. Once the project team has got our plan in place, we are then going to go, like I said, on the road and go talk to directors and departments to see, are we missing anything? We've done most of the work. Are we missing anything before we finalize and we're finally launching? The other thing will happen, too, is any of these changes, they have to have policies, procedures, resources, and training so that once we go live, we're under the same policy. We're under the same, very robust procedures, and that we have HR staff trained, department staff trained, so that we're applying it consistently, so that everybody can ensure that we're treating everybody fairly and respectfully in the process. And of course, we're continually improving as we are learning this too. That's kind of the goal of a launch of a project.
Do any of the other commissioners have questions?
No,
thank you very much for your presentation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Once we get a good survey, what you'll see is we'll probably have annual reports that will be provided that you'll be able to see, because that'll be our next step. Is once the data is done, we got to get that information out there so we can make the changes of whatever our internal cultures and pieces are going. So we can use that data to our advantage. So that it will be once life is in synchronized order, we'll be able to get that out there too as the next resource.
Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for inviting us. We appreciate this opportunity to talk about this awesome project that's coming up, and we'll let you know once it goes live. We'll let Aaron know if you want us to come back to see where we are after 6 months of this.
Very much appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next agenda item is call to the audience. Nobody's here physically. I don't see anybody virtually either. And agenda item number 6 is future agenda items.
Anyone have some suggestions?
Mr. Chair, I have recently heard some feedback from different people that I know in the city that have commented on some new pavement that was installed on one of the arterial roads, Pantano Road. And the consensus is that they wish the city would put back the old pavement. It's very rough. And I thought it interesting that on a brand new road, and I don't know if it was Prop 4, $11 that paid for this, but to perhaps have the City of Tucson Transportation and Mobility Department do a presentation on the specifications that govern the paving projects that they're doing, and maybe road projects in general, their processes for inspecting the quality of the construction, and the processes for any remedial mitigating actions that occur if the project does not meet spec.
Any comments? I wonder if we could tack on to that some information on the various public offerings that went to support these. Not the public offering, but the bonds and the expenditures under that.
I'll list that as one of the items that at a high level. I have it as new pavement surfaces, request for DTM to talk about their process for making sure pavement projects are the specifications and what they are monitoring, actions if they are not up to specs, and an overview of the bond projects related to the roadways.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Burke.
Thank you.
Commissioner Burke.
I should advise you that I actually sit on one of those commissions that does supervision of the bond and now the sales tax funds used on roadways. So there is a commission that does that.
Could we invite members of the commission to give us a report on that?
Well, I'm sure that could be done. There's a chair, and then, of course, there's a department head at the TDOT.
Commissioner Burke, could you talk about what that commission's actual duties and function are with regard to the road projects? Do you guys decide? Well, I'll let you answer.
Sure. I mean, I can answer questions, but generally speaking, and this is a commission that's been in place since the first bond way back when, I can't remember the exact date, I want to say 2016 perhaps. And that Oversight Commission has had its name changed, but it's essentially been the same group, and it's staffed by the Department of Transportation. They bring forth projects that are, I guess, decided on the basis of some concrete measurements and data on road status, and then recommendations are made for approval of those by the commission, and then we're given the opportunity to ask questions about those projects. Over time, there have been various formulas that have been used to determine how to identify projects within the city and eventually within the wards so that there's some equity involved in the distribution and road work. And then in the most recent iteration, with the passage of the HAPSED sales tax funds, there was an additional commission created that coordinates some elements of roadway construction, such as traffic lighting, access to sidewalks for disabilities. And so it's become a little more complicated, and I can't tell you that we supervise everything anymore. There's a commission, and I can't remember its name, that does that latter work. And so we have a coordination that takes place between staff and those two commissions to, you know, consolidate information and make decisions on moving forward with road projects.
Yeah, I know they probably in there lingering. I know Mike's in there too. Yeah.
Juan, we can hear you. We also have, so the commission, Mr. Burke is on as a resource. I'm the financial program manager over the Prop 407 bonds, which also have street elements. So they have bond oversight commission that oversees the approved projects, things like, depending on what this particular one is, could be a bike boulevard, they get different pavement treatment. Those things are also overseen by a bond commission. The tax oversight, anyone that has a funding source usually has the oversight commission over top of it. And depending on what their makeup is, changes to project scope have to go in front of them. But all of those commissions, the city side of it, the underlying staff is probably going to be the same DTM staff that could probably come and give you an overview of what they do.
Well, before we do that, my understanding of the way this organization, the commission, is set up is that we're entitled to look into things that are provided by the mayor or council or the city manager, or a project that is presented from one of the commissioners to the entire commission in order to have us proceed. Cool. I think that's a step that we ought to, if we're going to do this, we ought to ask the commission if they're interested in following through on this.
And can I inquire about the nature of that inquiry? Because there is an, as in this commission's bylaws or protocols, a call to the audience and a way to get on a list to identify your neighborhood, if it's a neighborhood street, for work. And then there's staffing who can answer specific questions about timelines, other elements of projects. I'm not clear on whether we're looking for a systemic overview, or is there a couple of issues that are specific to some particular individuals or neighborhoods?
I would sense that this is a systemic overview in that if there are specifications that exist once a project makes its way from any given funding source to DTM to be dispatched and constructed, from that point, there's a process to be followed, whether it's a design, a geotechnical analysis, but that there's got to be specifications that govern the construction of any given project in the city, regardless of funding source. So quality of product is usually a direct result of adherence to specifications. Hence, this particular roadway, and I'll say, without hearing any opinions firsthand, I've driven the roadway and it really isn't probably matching specifications. So is there something within the city system that identifies deficiencies and addresses them so that compliance with the specifications is achieved? There have been numerous studies. Pavement smoothness is probably one thing everybody recognizes in a new roadway. Lack of pavement smoothness tends to accelerate pavement deterioration due to wheel impact loads and things like that. So hearing what the city does at the city level, from project design to project construction, inspection, acceptance, might be kind of revealing as to what should be being done, what is being done, and is a point of interest, I think, for myself anyway.
If Commissioner Andrews would permit, I would like to see, as a part of this general overview, how the construction is assigned and what the procedures are to get the actual construction done. Is it by the city or are the contracts out?
Well, there's a bid process that's coordinated by another department in the city. Like, I don't know what the name of the department is, but it's a formal bid process, and those bids are managed. And then I don't know that we've ever looked at in detail on this commission. I'm referring to what I refer to as the Bond Oversight Commission. It's got a new name now. I don't recall ever delving into the specifics of the contracting or bid process. And I think that most of the work with respect to quality inspections and so forth are handled by transportation personnel and not the board. We have had over time some complaints come to us about, you know, deficient road work.
If I understand where we appear to be going, at least as I'm making the proposition, is we're looking basically for a systemic look at how the roads are produced from the initial bond until we have a service, and how will we get there? Is that basically what you're proposing?
Well, you can skip funding sources in this context, and the presentation would really start once a project is selected to be mediated or constructed. There's things that start to happen. Engineering takes a design task. They come up with a desired project design. Procurement might take over the bid process, and they might decide whether to do a competitive bid. They might do a job order contract. They might do a construction manager at risk. Those things are chosen for perhaps advantages to the city itself and maybe even perceived advantages to the end users. But then once the project is let for construction, there's standards of performance, I'm sure. And are those standards followed universally? And if there's failure to achieve those standards, what is the process to mitigate deficiencies and ensure that the end users are getting what they paid for and the product meets the original intended outcome of the specifications that are used?
Are there comments by any of the other commissioners with respect to the proposal for the commission to look into this area? I would accept Commissioner Andrews' proposition, except that I would take it one step further back and see how these projects are selected to go into the future.
Certainly. And in that regard, you probably come across some of the commission input that Commissioner Burke is involved with.
Sure, and I could give you the name of the commissioner's current chair. He's been there for several years. His name is Dale Calvert. He's a local CPA, and if there was anyone who is knowledgeable about that long history, it would be Dale. He's not only involved in the city board, but I think he's also on the RTA board. So there are some issues and questions with regard to coordination of roadways.
If I can stop you, Commissioner Burke, what we have before us is a question as to whether the commission, this commission, should undertake this audit in this area, as Commissioner Andrews has set up.
And if I may, this is a request for information so that we can decide. This is not necessarily need for an audit, but to learn.
In order to undertake this, we have to agree to do it.
Certainly.
And the commission has to agree to do it.
Well,
so I ask for a vote of the commissioners.
I have no issue with making the inquiry and setting it up for what individuals on this board would want to hear. That's no issue.
Let's do it by the numbers. Can I get a roll call?
Yes. Let's see. Board 2, Commissioner Burke.
Sure, yes.
Board 3, Commissioner Hunter.
Yes.
Board 4, Commissioner Andrews.
Yes.
And Ward 5, Chairperson Clark.
Yes.
Ward 1 and Ward 6 are absent. Passes 4-0.
Then we are going to add this to the future items.
Yes.
Well, there's been some pending future items from the past. Can we carry those along?
Yes. As a quick update, we had safety and pedestrian fatalities and overall road safety follow-up from Department of Transportation. They were not able to make it this month, but they do have availability next month. They want to also include TPD, Tucson Police Department, with their presentation because they felt it would give a more complete picture of the fatalities. DTM has certain stats and TPD has other stats. So that is in the making for next month.
Can we add that then to the agenda for next month?
Yes. Any other future agenda items?
Commissioners?
Not from me.
I don't have any.
Nor do I.
Okay. So our last item.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thank you, Mr. Everybody.